The program originally scheduled for this time will not be heard. From Munich, Germany, the Mutual Network presents a commentary by the renowned woman correspondent, Sigrid Schulz. We take you now to Munich.
This is Sigrid Schulz, the Berlin correspondent of the Chicago Tribune, speaking to you from Munich. I have just finished a tour of the international headquarters of Europe's four great powers in the Bavarian capital tonight. I had hoped this would enable me to give you a clear-cut picture of the international situation as it presents itself tonight. It is not possible to do so because the historical conference is still on. I must confess that I have a very strong suspicion that some of the great men and their equally great aides who sat in the House of the Führer today are still in the dark about the final outcome of the negotiations, though they are all confident or hopeful that they will be able to avert war. While I am talking, the big four are again assembled in the Führer House of Hitler in Munich. The men who flew to Munich from all parts of Europe are very proud of themselves. After all, haven't they cast aside old iron-bound traditions and dropped much of the old-fashioned diplomatic routine to get together for man-to-man talk? I've heard a lot about those man-to-man talks in my pretty long years, 19 years to be exact, as a news gatherer in Europe's long cavalry of peace conferences that failed. I always get somewhat skeptical when that turns up. But the big politicians like this term as well as the boys do, and they talk a lot about it. In today's foursome of man-to-man talks, an agreement has been reached, say the Germans. In principle, they add quickly. Then you go to the English in their headquarters in the Hotel Regina, and you find the oh-so-very dignified gentleman of Downing Street whispering, "You mean an agreement in principle has been reached?" Well, that is saying a bit much. A tremendous amount of technical details remain to be cleared before one can say that an agreement has been reached. You leave the elegant Hotel Regina, famed for its afternoon tea for the Munich bells, and you go to the French headquarters in the Hotel Furiaris present, famed for its good cooking. It sounds quite simple, but it is not. After all, foreign statesmen must be protected from possible assailants and from the curious. Many black uniformed Schutzstaffel men told me my perfectly good pink propaganda ministry credentials meant nothing in their lives, that I could not go through. They had their orders from the police and not from the propaganda men. Through some of Munich's charming old streets. There, I found a lot of the French and the English correspondents who had left Berlin 48 hours ago. Because, after all, war seemed around the corner, and no able-bodied man should be out of his country when war starts. Most of them had good stories why they had left Berlin. No, none of them had been afraid of a possible war. They knew better. But, as one of them said, my wife and children, they were living in the suburbs of Paris and had to evacuate while Paris was getting ready for a possible war. And it's naturally the father's duty to help mother and the children evacuate. The diplomats who had protected the international agreements stood by, rather relishing the thought of all the hours their poor journalistic friends spent on grimy trains within the past few days, rushing from Berlin to their hometowns and back to Munich. The newspapermen got even with them to a certain extent by telling them of the superlative meals and wines they had as homecoming feasts in London, Paris, or Brussels. If you collared the French diplomats and told them to quit kidding the boys and to confirm the report of an agreement in principle, their hands would fly up. On se pose la question. One does not know yet. It is not certain whether one can find a formula acceptable to the Czechs. It must still be found. We are in constant touch with Paris and Prague. The conference continues tonight at 10 o'clock. When you go paging your Italian friends in their swanky black outfits with black tassels dangling from their black caps and a waitress, and you're the enterprising angle, they certainly look satisfied with themselves. Quite confidentially, they whisper, our Duce brought a new plan. If you tell them that their German friends have given full credit to the Duce for the new plan, they beam. It is a totally new borderline which the Duce has drawn. It leaves some of the fortified areas out of the district that is to be annexed by Germany immediately, thus making it easier for the Czechs to accept the New Year's suggestions and thus saving everybody's face. Mussolini's plan was used as basis for the talks in the Führer's house this afternoon. They believe it will be acceptable to Prague. But there are more important things in the air than the question of Czechoslovakia. The old idea of the Duce for a four-power pact is finally being taken up seriously. And the Italians, revealing openly what seemed a vital question to many of the international politicians assembled in Munich. Czechoslovakia and her fate, though of vital importance, receded somewhat into the background. She was a pawn in the hard game of European politics, in which the premiers of the Western democracies, who have had a comparatively easy life for the past 20 years, are up against the new authoritarian governments. Hitler and Mussolini feel themselves as the chiefs of big resurrected empires with an overflowing vitality, and they want space into which they can spread. For Hitler and Mussolini, life has been a battle. They have loved the battle, and they still love it. The discussion of the fate of Czechoslovakia afforded them an excellent opportunity to show to the Western democracies, whom Nazis and fascists describe as weak-kneed, that they are forging ahead and ready to go places. The weariness evident in the headquarters of the French and the British delegations was strongly contrasted by the alertness and energy displayed in German and Italian circles. The question, is this agreement we are preparing now, honorable in view of our alliance with Czechoslovakia, is weighing heavily on many of the Frenchmen in Munich tonight, and it is casting a pall over the British. But the conviction that they are working for peace helps them. In the Führer's house, the Big Four reassembled at 10 o'clock tonight. Chamberlain, before leaving his hotel, stated most emphatically that he would continue negotiations until an agreement has been reached on the new four-power project, which he trusts will safeguard peace. In Munich's brewery, the population tonight is celebrating the historical conference, being firmly convinced that when the statesmen get together tomorrow morning, possibly to sign the agreement, they will do everything in their power to avert war.
In keeping with the Mutual Network's policy of bringing to its listeners the latest developments concerning the present European situation, we have taken you to Munich, Germany, to the scene of today's four-power parley for a special commentary by the renowned woman correspondent, Sigrid Schultz.